моїм злові.
It's 11:12 now, 12 minutes after 11 o'clock, Friday, and the weekend. You know, there was old songs called Living for the Weekend. Good morning, Scott Anthony.
What's up, Tate?
And good morning to my dear friend, Scott.
Hey, good morning. How it's good to see you again.
Yeah.
Sean's here. Yeah.
We're in the mall here. How does this, you know, and bless Marion's heart and the support that they probably had for this. Because last time I was here a few years ago, they had a Sears. Or was it JCPenney?
Sears.
Okay, yeah. They're no longer here.
No, they left. But the good news was there was good news, whatever that means. But okay. There's intricate things there, but Sears was not owned by the mall.
I understand that. So is there a bigger mall here in Marion?
No. Everything's just went out east.
Okay, I thought maybe they may have relocated or whatever.
No. Everything just went out east. Sears did not go anywhere. Sears is not
in there. It's a nice mall.
It is.
Did it have its heyday?
Oh, big. Well, it had its heyday from the late 60s through early 2000s.
Come on, let's stock the mall up with more businesses, right? Is that Trump's policy? Let's get off of welfare America and let's get our own businesses together and support our community.
45 seconds before Trump's name was brought up.
Well, I mentioned off the air that we had a lot to talk about, or at least there is a lot to talk about between our last broadcast, which was last Friday.
Yeah, we were in the car and on our way here, and Ted, we brought up the lady with the no experience.
No experience.
As far as education. So we wanted to talk about that a little bit. Obviously, a bunch of other things. But I was telling Ted, because Ted was going in, like, you know, she has no experience and things like that. What were some other things that you were saying?
Well, you know, it just puts to mind what Vicki Lawrence and Scott, correct me if I'm wrong, what she said, that my blessing or implementing me in America's culture is a description of kids. You don't have to go to school. You don't have to educate yourself. Just go out on a highway corner, exhibit your God-given gifts or your talents or your education, and you can be, you know, Ted Williams.
Yeah, and she was basically trying to be funny. And
so with that Secretary of Education or whatever her what is her title?
Secretary of Education. Betsy DeVos is her name.
Betsy DeVos.
Now. So Betsy, and she admits, yeah, she's like, you know, I don't know a lot, but this is what I do want.
I don't think she's ever said I don't know a lot.
She admit that she's not all that.
Politically knowing a lot.
Yeah.
Well,
for that position. She's admitted that she doesn't know too much.
Then why is she in that position if she doesn't know a lot?
I can tell you why. Because she said that she wants to bring prayer back in school, and that's why Trump wants her.
Well, I'll ask you, interesting thing. During her confirmation hearings, Bernie Sanders asked her how much
Bernie.
You could do the Bernie Sanders impersonation. But Bernie Sanders asked her how much her family had given to the Republican Party, and it was millions of dollars.
Yeah.
I don't think it has anything to do with prayer in school, because she's going to have to go through the Supreme Court for that. She just can't do that as the education secretary.
Here's the thing about that. When a person has a goal in mind, whether it can be done or not, you have a goal and you have a reason. Her reason and her purpose is something that's very needed in our society. And so here's the thing. Experience doesn't dictate as far as that right there. To be in that position if you're trying to get prayer back in school. Because here's the
like
thing.
Like, have you can, a hidden you, agenda to take to
yeah,
the Supreme
because you can learn how to do the other stuff.
Yeah, but here's the problem with her. She's going to be put over the head of public schools. She's never attended a public school.
Okay. There's the inexperience.
Yeah, and she's also for charter schools, which a lot of people are not.
Which a lot of people are, because I am.
Okay, yeah. Well, we can talk about charter schools sometime.
He voted for Trump, yeah. You remember?
Well, yeah, I mean, but here's the thing. That has nothing to do with Trump. I was a part of a charter school. My wife was a part of a charter school. Here's the thing. Our education system has to change anyway. We've been doing the same thing in our education system, since the 60s, 40s, things have not really changed.
The circle of existence, the circle of life, it's time for, again.
We have to change
Christianity or whatever.
Now prayer in school is a separate issue. You know, prayer in school was not taken out until 1965.
That's exactly right.
And that's Helen. Oh boy, Ted, you remember the evil woman?
That's what they called her.
Yeah, what was her name? And she loved it. Call her the evil woman. She'd laugh at you. Yeah, she loved it. She was on Donna. You all the time. Madeline Marie O'Hare.
That's right.
She's the one who got prayer taken out of schools.
Yeah.
But anyway, Madeline Marie O'Hare, she didn't do that through the education secretary. She didn't do that through the president. She did that through the Supreme Court.
And that's and guess what? Because of that, because
but
of
if
that
you
system,
are educated, hold on, one more thing. I was just gonna say. The education secretary cannot argue a case before the Supreme Court. So even if this woman wanted it, she couldn't take it to the Supreme Court anyway.
I can bet you believe that something's gonna happen. She's gonna make it happen. Trump.
He'd like to see this happen.
Because
that's
Trump.
Okay. I don't mind that.
Yeah, because Trump, because he's changing things. He's changing the way America has done things as far as in politics. I mean, this man is making moves.
More executive orders.
I mean,
he's done that.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to have 20 of them.
Yeah, so it's not going to be any more. No, he can't.
But
yes, he is.
But here's the thing, just to tie this all in a knot, and nobody here is against prayer in school, I don't think.
No.
But people get these rules all screwed up. The Constitution, the Supreme Court ruling was you can't prayer in school. It's just, it's not going to be mandatory.
Right.
You can pray in school all day long.
For those who don't want to partake, there are certain things
like you can't bring your Bible in school. You get kicked out of school for reading your Bible in class. I can pull up videos all day long.
Yeah, but now wait a second. Now, are you reading your Bible in class when you're supposed to be doing your
schoolwork? No, not supposed to be doing your schoolwork. No, not at all. When you have a child pulling out this book because there's free time and they say it's a religious book and you have to get it out and they kick you out of school, that was done, and I wish I had I could pull up the YouTube right now.
But just before people start sending me their nasty tweets,
yeah,
all I want to say is why can't you pray when you're walking to school, on the walk home, in the car before you get out, in the lunchroom? Who hears you? You know, it's not like you stop and say, everybody must pray now in the lunchroom. That's all the decision did was said we can't have it be mandatory, because if the kid is Muslim, if the kid is
Pledge of Allegiance? Is that still going on?
In some schools they don't do it as well.
But that's a school decision.
Because they fall in line. It falls in line of separation of God in the school. So they don't want to make people feel bad. But the bottom line, I remember as a kid in the morning, our school would pray, and it was a public school.
And that's what they got rid of.
But again, when you do things like that, because everything is not
a better classroom.
Yeah, because there's, I mean, whether you believe in God or not,
Tate
and I believe in God. So that's what we're going to talk about.
And
so,
my story cannot be mentioned without
that. So when you understand the power of God and the importance of God in our schools, in our lives, in our homes, it makes a greater spirit.
We'll have less heroin addicts.
We'll have a lot of things going on. And so when that happened, we wasn't having mass shootings in school before that happened. We wasn't having Columbine issues before that happened in schools. Yeah. A lot of things have traded because of the God being pulled out of there. Now, yeah, people can pray by themselves alone, things like that. That's understandable. But again, when you submit unto the higher power in your school at that time, it just brings another atmosphere in your mind.
But when you're right, we weren't having Columbine and we weren't having that, but we were having Hitler's Nazi Germany when people were praying in schools. We were having McCarthyism in this country. You were a communist. The churches didn't step in and stop that. We were having a lot of things.
Well,
it's time for
history to repeat itself, as it's done many times, as we've probably grown to see, lived to see, and we will see. And so I hope that prayer does become implemented with this non-experienced woman who has never went to a public school, and so she's now Secretary of Education.
I think not yet, the vote hasn't happened yet.
I
think a lot of people would rather say that they didn't go to a public school. And there's some public schools that help people out and things like that.
I went to a different school after a certain years
because there's the public schools kind of, you know, they need some changes.
I'm not arguing against prayer in school here. All I'm saying is another problem with this woman that turned a lot of people off to her was that she plagiarized her paperwork for the Senate.
She plagiarized it.
Yeah,
that sucks.
So did
Trump's wife.
And what?
Michelle Obama's thing.
She took her speech at the convention. But yeah. Melania...
She does it all the time.
Did I hear that Michelle did something like that? She didn't do anything like that.
No, I don't believe so.
No.
But the problem is...
Donald Trump's wife did.
You have to be qualified to do a position like that, or you do have some kind of anarchy. I mean, I just wish this woman knew what it was like to go to a public school one day.
So here's the thing. I've had to go to a job, and the job says... said to me, I don't want you to have any other experience with anyone else because I want to be able to teach you the way that we. When you're taught a certain way, you are stuck in that same mindset and can't nobody pull you out. So I'd rather have a fresh plate, nothing ever touching it, a slate where nothing's ever touched it. So then I can implement my things upon you instead of you having to deal. I have to deal with taking all that stuff out of your mind, erasing all that crap that you learned just for me to put it in. So here's the thing. I don't think there's anything wrong with not having experience in certain situations, because Ted sure didn't have experience in certain situations, but that band's talent is off the chain.
Now I'm doing corporate sponsorships and all of those kind of things.
But Ted, now would you say the first day you ever got behind a microphone, I don't know the year, that you...
1978.
Do you think you're better now behind the microphone than you were in 78?
A little more seasoned.
Experience counts,
yes.
I'm talking about...
But I would have never gotten the experience had no one given me that chance.
Right, but I don't think...
You become acclimated to your
I'll give you an idea. If you want to go work at McDonald's, I'm going to make this rudimentary. If you want to go work at McDonald's, you start out doing the fries. You don't get your experience by being the CEO. And that's what this woman is.
Yeah, okay. I feel you. Okay. I feel that.
We'll go with that.
Yeah. I feel that.
And on that note, I want to say that our president, commander-in-chief and all, Donald Trump, he is really, really taking over at those executive orders.
Since we met last, there was a Muslim ban imposed on the country.
That's right. And he's doing it quick. And supporters are very, very much in favor of the fact that he is doing what he said he would do, what he promised he would do.
I tell you, this show last week was a forerunner of what was to happen. Friday night, when this show was over, Trump enacts the Muslim ban at 4 o'clock that day. And then we also talked about protesters last week, and boy, they were protesting in four cities again at the airport last week. And do protesters had a purpose? Well, they certainly did.
Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't want these people to be held.
Scott was bringing up the idea of all of the solidarity and the supporters of women's rights here in America and all of the things that women are lacking or in the, male-female thing. What he said to me was...
Whoa!
I call Scott Trump.
There you go.
I'm just going to start signing things over here, executive orders.
Hey, listen.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
What is it that women... And wholeheartedly, all together, collectively, whatever way you want to put it, what is it that women are denied so heavy in America that other women in other countries aren't,
here in the United States. No, here in the United
States. Equal pay on the dollar.
Equal pay. Now, here's his.
Now, here's the thing. Okay.
Equal pay. You said the first one.
That's the first one I said.
Yeah. It could be that the forerunner.
So we have all these women coming together when Trump is now elected. To scream and yell and say, "Okay, now he's elected. We need to make a stink.
We need to start doing this.
We need to make a stink about us not getting paid." Okay, bad timing. That's first off. I think bad timing. You bitch. Bad timing.
Why didn't you do it to the Obama administration?
You didn't do it before that. You ain't do it way before that. And here's the thing too. I've seen more women in more positions. I know personally more women in higher positions are getting paid more than guys. I've seen more women that's running corporate entities.
Women have power now.
Oh my gosh, more than ever.
They can't be experiencing that issue.
I know the jobs that I've worked at, as far as when I was working corporate, most of the women were running the place. Or right up under the CEO, or if they're not the CFO or something like that. I mean, one lady, like I said, the one running for president, she was working for HP. Wasn't she over it or something like that?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, there's no doubt there's a woman just ran for president. Yeah. It's not that women don't have power. There aren't women in good positions. Look at the Senate. Look at the Congress. What percentage is men? What percentage is women? Look at the president. How many women presidents have we had? We've had 45
men.
Is that
what they're screaming about? Equality?
No. Women do not make on the dollar what men make. Right. They just don't.
I believe going down there screaming at Trump in the time of whether celebration or not, to be screaming and saying, "Hey Trump, give me this, give us this," or whatever, and in doing it in that type of away. I don't think it's going to change anything.
I think there were other groups of women that were screaming at some of the bad statements that Trump was making along.
Well, that helped it along. That helped his case with women not be so pleasant, because the other presidents weren't doing that. Also, he does have a Supreme Court pick, and they are worried about Roe versus Wade being overturned.
Yeah.
And he did make, I mean, he called
so
Hillary
there were
Clinton,
big issues.
A nasty
I don't
woman.
Think women are just totally against Trump, because he's got a lot of female supporters, and I'll tell you why.
Oh, absolutely.
In Columbus, Donald Trump rewarded all of the campaign, the hardworking campaign workers throughout Ohio, with a Trump train. And it was a charter service that had Trump's thing. And they stopped in Columbus, and I got a chance to go on the Trump train.
Now, do you think he did that because he liked the women, or do you think that because he just wanted to stick it to Governor Kasich, who he really does not like?
Exactly. I thought it was like, see, Ohioans, you did a good job for me. You bumped out Kasich or whatever, and I won. So here, take a tour of maybe some of those areas that you don't normally frequent, you know?
And
it was a tour through Ohio. So with that being said, and I see that you're somewhat simulcasting with your little video.
Yeah.
I want to show you the Trump train.
It
was outside of TJ's on High Street and Morse Road, and they were coming from Canton, Ohio. The Trump train, it was out of sight.
That sounds like an amazing... Well, but the thing, you know, Trump has not... He's only been in office 14 days today.
Yeah, right.
It's not that he does all bad things. Nobody's saying that at all.
No, none whatsoever.
The problem is he does things that... are strange,
unusual, are not normal.
Yeah, unorthodox.
And he said that. And he's like, listen, I think he was in an interview the other day. And he was being interviewed, and he says, listen, man, I'm not politically correct. He straight said it. Like, I'm not politically correct.
Let me throw
I'm
this
sorry, I'm not
disclaimer:
like
the views and opinions expressed here are not necessarily known.
No, but why hang up on the Australian Prime Minister? Why have a nasty conversation with that person?
I have no idea. I don't know anything about that.
I mean, he did. He had a nasty, and they're our ally. He's got a hothead.
Calling Hillary Clinton nasty because she had
nasty
to go to
woman.
The bathroom.
You nasty woman.
There you
I
go. There's the Trump train.
The Trump train. Look at that. Well, that is a nice looking train.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, he likes to put his name on things.
I talk to Scott Anthony a little bit more about the topics that we're trying to bring every Friday to our Marion listeners and surrounding places. He's going to end up making me a Trump supporter for a possible re-election.
Well, here's the thing, though. I mean, technically, I'm not a Trump
supporter.
We'll
start with the wall.
I'm not a Trump supporter, okay? What I am, though, is I see different perspectives. What I do want to see is change. What I am tired of is
because he's a young man.
Of the bull crap that's been going on.
I'm almost at the age where I don't give a damn anymore.
Stupid. And even at the end of the day, it comes down to us as individuals. It comes down to what we're going to do in our communities, you know, and it comes down to our culture as black people, as white people, but then we all the same.
No. This is Black History Month. Was it a problem the other day that he didn't know Frederick Douglass was dead? I mean, you would think there's a little problem, Scott.
Well, look, the Underground Railroad is
okay,
right
first
here
of all,
Ohio.
There's not only one Frederick Douglass. So,
which one was he talking about?
Well, listen, the Underground Railroad, which still has little passageways here in Ohio, have to say, is now being used by our Mexican community.
Well, there you go. So that's what you end up finding out.
So we're looking
out
for a new Harriet Tubman.
Trump,
find us a Harriet Tubman.
Well, I mean, it was shocking to me that he said, and I'm trying to find the exact
Frederick
quote here.
Frederick Douglass is still alive.
Shut up, Scott.
Well, that's what he said. Shouldn't he know that sort of thing?
Well, yes. Whoops, so you can see why we question the Secretary of Education not having any experience.
No, this is the truth. This is what he said. He said, this is his quote the other day.
That's horrible.
He said, Frederick Douglass is an example of somebody who's done an amazing job and is getting recognized the more and more I noticed. That's Trump's quote. Does he know Frederick Douglass has been dead for 120 years?
Hold up. I don't understand that. Read that again.
He said at the Black History meeting the White House.
There we go.
He said Frederick Douglass is an example of somebody who's done an amazing job and is getting recognized more and more. I notice.
Okay, so that's not saying.
Well,
that
I think the acknowledgement of Frederick,
and that's not saying he don't know that he's dead or alive. Yeah,
but you would say did an amazing job.
Oh my God, Scott.
You wouldn't?
Yeah.
Come on, right. Man. Are you serious?
He's going for the grandma.
do you really think he knew? I tell you what, we'll call the White House.
One of the examples that he's noticing that he hasn't noticed in his comments about black urban America killing off each other, and we're nothing but, you know, unpoliced cities and all of that. We're just running.
You want to know what Trump has said about that?
Muck or whatever.
No, before we move on, because I want to get this here real quick.
Okay.
Because we started on prayer. Okay. Yeah, the National Prayer Breakfast, which has been going on for 53 years, solemn event every
year,
started this year. Yeah. Eisenhower was the first president to attend. They all have ever
since.
That's
my president.
And do you know what Trump got up there and asked them to pray for? This is what he asked them to pray for.
Please.
He wanted them to pray for Arnold Schwarzenegger's bad apprentice ratings. So Donald Trump is the prayer president, if there ever was one.
There you go. I love it.
Do you really think that man cares about prayer or knows that Frederick Douglass is alive?
Now I'm beginning to believe that he doesn't care about women.
That's what he asked to prayer. And you know what? Arnold, you're not going to push around the Terminator.
No.
He sent a video out and he said, okay, Trump, he said, if you know so much about television, how about you and I switch spots so people can sleep easy again at night?
Ooh.
That's funny. You know, it was pretty amazing that Arnold Schwarzenegger even became governor. That was just still amazing. Why would you go to the National Prayer Breakfast and start talking about the apprentice ratings? Because he's Trump.
He can say what he wants to do.
He's Trump. He can do it.
And that's what it's all about.
Okay, so you're shocked that people are protesting. Here's an example. No, I'm gonna give you this example. Have you ever gone to a church or brought a friend to church that ain't never been to church before?
Well, sure.
Okay, so when that person's never been to church, and it depends on the type of church that you go that you actually attend, because some churches are real radical, some churches, you know what I mean, they're hooping and hollering, running around, and this person has never gone to church. They don't know how to act. They don't know when to stand. They don't know. You guys, I brought friends to church, and they walk through the middle aisle. I got friends to church. So they do things because they've never been. You got a person that's...
Donald Trump is just making off-color comments because he's never been
in certain situations. I believe the guy who's never been is the guy who's going to turn it all around. No.
I've never been to an empty mall.
This is what I'm saying to you. The guy that's never been is, again, a fresh slate. The guy that's never been is teachable and trainable. The guy that's never been is the one that still has a mind and has people around him.
Ted, does Donald Trump at 70 years old seem like a teachable, trainable guy?
Doesn't matter what he seems like.
It goes to say that some people are set in their ways, you know. By the way, that's my alter ego. Whenever you hear that little, oh, God, that I think like, you know, but let me tell you something. Back in 1941, the Pearl Harbor situation, man, now that was a president.
Does that alter ego have a name?
Well, yeah, I call him Grandpa.
Grandpa.
Well, you can call him anything, but, you know, everybody has that one old man that has, you know, in our families. And he doesn't have to be old. Why do you have to put age into it?
That's right.
Well, I'm sorry.
I'm with you. I'm just a senior.
In the first
22 minutes of this show today, we've discussed prayer and we've discussed
inexperience
in Black History Month.
Yeah,
we ain't discussed Black History Month.
Trump believes that Frederick Douglass is still alive.
No, he does not. That's not the interpretation. I think he invited him to the White House to find the Mexican version.
Of Rosa Parks.
You're joking.
Not Rosa Parks, but Harriet Tubman.
But do you think Trump is really doing this not just to pander to his base? I mean, do you think that he's really doing it because he wants prayer in school, because he wants people to succeed, or do you think he's doing it to get votes?
I think the votes is over. I think he's packaging this
for if he makes it through the first term, for possible, if not reelected, he'll have that reality show again.
And he wanted to make sure he had Frederick Douglass's vote
crazy.
Next time.
Exactly.
He wanted to have his vote.
Don't laugh at this crazy man.
No, that's
Scott
true. That's Spears. What the man said.
No, he did not say that. That's your non.
He wants to know. He wants everybody to pray for the ratings.
Because he didn't say
Donald Trump. Frederick Douglass is an example of somebody who's done an amazing job and is getting recognized more and more. I notice. Who's recognizing him
he
now?
He is. Maybe he is. Maybe we are. Listen,
the first time he opened a book at 70 years old.
Here's the thing.
Frederick Douglass, granted, was during the same time as Nat Turner.
Well, stop. Hold up.
Okay. Nat Turner
went
around.
That's not too much that I know about Frederick Douglass.
Killed a bunch of white people. So now we got the modern day Nat Turner.
Do you know he's dead?
Yeah, I know.
That's
he's
all
dead.
You have to know.
No, I know he's dead, but when he's talking about recognizing like anyone else, when you start to read, because there's more and more that I'm reading about Malcolm X. There's more and more I'm learning about Malcolm X. Now, I understand what's going on,
Trump has white supremacists in his
We're not
cabinet.
Talking about white supremacy right now. We're talking about this.
Well, he does.
We're talking about this. And why
is he noticing how black people are progressing from some of the things that Frederick Douglass has
And okay, so he's turning to you on this one. Yeah. He's about to get an attorney general.
We know. We talked about it.
Okay.
And we're going
to
get to it.
Who could not be appointed because of his racial background.
And we're going to get to it. And that's good.
Oh, that's good that he's.
I mean, no, what I'm saying, well, it's good if a person.
Frederick Douglass would like
listen to me,
if he was living or dead.
If this guy.
Camera,
two things. If this guy, first of all, let's go back because I don't like doing two subjects. So. The white supremacy, we'll get to that. The Frederick Douglass is, if we still are learning about somebody and we still understand the contributions that they have brought to America or to our people, period, that's a good thing to still continue to learn and still say. He did not say, I don't know that he's not dead. That's your interpretation, and that's how things get screwed up. That's how things people.
That's my interpretation?
Yeah, because you said he didn't say dead.
How do you interpret it?
He didn't say dead. He never said dead.
Frederick Douglass is an example. He couldn't find a living example.
It doesn't matter. He's still an example. Is Martin Luther King still not an example? Is he dead? Is Martin Luther King an example?
Hold on, let's get the quote here. The quote's important because we don't want to misstate the facts.
But is Martin Luther King, if he put Martin
Absolutely.
Luther King in there, thank you.
Absolutely.
Is Malcolm X still a.
But
it's
Frederick, it'd be Martin
Frederick
Luther King
Douglass
Jr.
is another century.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Martin Luther King Jr. was an example of a man who did an amazing job.
And I see it every day.
Okay, yeah. So we're talking about term wars. I mean, it's a term war.
So he can't speak, is what you're telling me.
No, that's what you're saying. So term wars.
He can't speak.
I'm
just wondering, when did Donald Trump take time to sit back and observe the progress of what Negroes, black people?
We're not
have.
Talking about black people. We're talking about Frederick Douglass.
You remember me saying Negro again?
No, wait. Do you remember
Frederick
Donald Trump's?
To say Negro.
Do you remember Donald Trump's pledge to the people up in Detroit, the African American community? What do you got to lose?
What do you have to lose?
What do you got to lose?
But yet
he's observing the progress that black people are making.
Yeah, yeah, right. He picks up great progress 2 months later.
What do you have to lose?
Has there not been improvement?
He doesn't acknowledge it as that because in his campaign he said we're nothing but crazy people killing ourselves in urban
areas. Isn't this the guy?
Is that not freaking true?
Isn't this the guy who for 2 years said our first African American president wasn't born here?
Who cares? Y'all jump. Who cares?
Well.
Who cares? Y'all jump in situations.
Who cares? What
cares?
What do you think he did that?
The reason why I say who cares is because
that's
you're
how
going
Donald
from,
Trump thinks.
No, no.
Who cares?
No, here's the
I
thing.
I bet he doesn't think Barack Obama's a great person who does all this.
So when our people are killing each other, we all see that. Okay? But one thing about it is Trump has gone back. Right now, he's talking about trying to do something in these neighborhoods.
Okay.
It's obviously. So if Trump. Stop. Because I'm dead serious. Because we have a position of influence, and if y'all keep playing, it's not a position. You abuse the power of influence of what you're saying.
No, it's
so,
not.
No, it is. But this is what I'm saying to you. Because it is. It has to become a time where we use our words responsibly. Now, at moments, we don't. Sometimes we think it's funny. Sometimes we do. But I'm saying there's a time when people have to use it responsibly. And right now, when our people are out there getting killed, and we actually see these things. There are poor people. There are poor black people. There are poor people, white and black, people on welfare, white and black. There's people that are out there killing each other, white and black. When Trump said that, I mean, it's real. There's a lot of people. Yeah, our community is getting killed. So hold up.
You got to let us back in here.
So hold up. Wait, no.
I'm listening.
But hold up. Well, give me a second. So when he said that, he wasn't saying all black people, because I'm sure not. I know a lot of millionaires. I can go down to Georgia right now. There's a lot of millionaires. I can go down to Texas. I'm talking about black people. So if you offended by it, then that means he must be talking to you. So if he's talking to you, then what are you going to do to change your life?
But now let's hold on, because it's not a joke what we're saying about Donald Trump. It's that this is the stuff he says.
Okay.
If you take his stuff, this is what he's saying, and you cannot help but notice what he says. So
he's putting quotes on full face value.
So
whether anybody interprets it in their own way of thinking or whatever,
right,
it's up to you.
You know what the
and you're saying? Who cares? Yes. Who really cares?
No. When I'm talking about who cares, because you're jumping from one subject to another.
I didn't think that was funny. How many times during moderations of many of the debates over this past election? How many times has he evaded a certain question?
Well, I'm not evading.
He didn't answer. Out of the hour and a half, he doesn't answer anything directly head on.
I didn't think it was funny that he called a former first lady a nasty woman. I didn't think it was funny that he questioned the birthright of the first African American president.
What is this? This is your mom? Who cares? Yeah. If she's nasty, she's nasty.
There we go again.
But she's not nasty. Why?
So in other words, Hillary got over it. You know, turned the other cheek.
We have to take Donald Trump seriously with his problems. But when it comes to him making fun of other people, like the crippled reporter, we just dust that under the rug.
We're not talking about that either.
You don't think we looked handicapped as a nation to see Donald Trump debate Hillary Clinton with all of the credentials, vice versa, and all we ended up coming to was emails and taxes? Out of all the rhetoric that was said and done and everything, it all boiled down to emails and taxes or foreign trade over relationships with Russia. You know, they were small and minimal issues. There was no education issues brought up. There was nothing about privatizations of prisons. There was nothing said about homelessness situations. Nothing about each other slinging mud about,
as usual,
who's going to create more jobs than the other, who's going to cause the loss of jobs,
right?
The wall and all of those other things. They were so minimal when the interior of our country, the infrastructure, is dying. I look in Marion here, and I'm not taking anything away from the city of Marion and what it has developed as a community and all of those things. But I look at the city of Marion. I want to see some of Trump's political power do something for Marion.
Well, but you know, the problem is here is the guy himself never says what he means. I heard what in this campaign, they said his voters took him literally, not seriously. And the media and the people who voted against him took him seriously and not literally.
Is he doing what he says he's doing?
What's he doing?
The memorandum.
Did he do it? Yes or no?
Everything he said he was going to do? No, because he said Mexico was going to pay for that wall. He tweaks everything.
Okay, hold up. So you just said there's some things that he's doing good, there's some things that he's doing bad.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's talk about the things that he's doing good. Yeah, they ain't paying for it right now.
This is a black man who's a heavy Trump supporter.
Yeah, but I don't talk about the television that's working. I talk about the television that's broken.
I'm talking about the television that's working. That's my perspective. Because my whole thing is, let's come with a solution. Let's not always focus on the problem, because then you begin to worship the problem and magnify the problem, so then people, all they see is the problem,
but how do
not
we get
the
rid
solution.
Of it? How do we get rid of the
you
problem?
You talk about the solution. I have
What's
a solution.
The solution?
The solution is you need to come together and do what you're supposed to do as a responsible person in your home first.
Okay.
You need to not only listen to a radio or look into Facebook or whatever. You need to continue to research and then have the mind of God and in the morals and the respect of yourself and other people and love. Not always all negative.
So we should have sweatshops right here in America.
But see, and that is the problem. You say
we don't
I
have
agree
none.
With everything you say. You know what? If people want to put prayer back in school, that's a Supreme Court. Go ahead and do it. If you want to have respect and love and in the home have dinner every night and put the phones down, good. But it's very hard when a president of the United States is tweeting out, "You nasty woman, the president's not legitimate because we can't see his birth certificate."
It's old, Scott.
It's not even a year old.
It's old. Obama's gone.
You notice what Obama? He's saying all the way through this? Who cares? That's what he's believing, that the Trump, that's what makes me believe that the Trump policies and campaigning things, there is all crazy.
That was okay, I guess.
Who cares? The who cares is, one, let's just be real about it. We got to be. We have to be real about it.
Yeah, he doesn't want nobody. Trump wants everybody to work at some capacity. No more free handouts. You know, working my. If you need a job, I got one for you. You know, it might be
and
minimal
if you don't,
pay.
And if you don't, you create one. And if you don't, you create one.
And
this,
women,
this is how. This is how. How do you create a job? How do you create a job? You go out. There's policies and laws that things that are set up in place where you can get loans, you can get grants, you can create an LLC, you can create.
Well, that's
can,
what he's trying
can,
to cut
out. You can take a drawing and go make some money. Can you not?
Do you know, interestingly enough, he had a meeting this morning, but do you know what he's trying?
Oh, boy. Getting deeper.
It's a deep one. But, you know, it's interesting. One of the things, executive orders that Trump wants to work on is repealing Dodd-Frank, which is the spending that you know, the bailing out of the banks before.
Yeah.
That we need. Now, do we want that? Do we want people, when they deal with their 401k, to not really know what they're dealing with because Donald Trump wants to pull that back?
I don't know anything.
That's what he did about
this. I'll tell you one thing that really
I do know.
Me.
I do know my generation won't be able to touch Medicaid or Medicare.
Well, yeah, your generation.
Even though that we're paying into it, and they're telling us you paying into it because it comes out of my taxes.
It's going to be a dramatic
change. We're not
going to
be able to touch it
with Trump's election.
And this is before Trump.
You know how you keep Medicare and Medicaid. You add about $14 or $15 billion to the American taxpayers, but too bad we're sending that to the wall.
Here's what I'm saying.
There you go.
This
absolutely.
Is before Trump.
Who cares?
No, this is before. It's not a who cares. This is before Trump. I've been having my taxes taken. They told me before Obama got in that, hey, guys, when you get older, yeah, right now you're paying for Medicaid and Medicare on your taxes. You won't be able to touch them. So hold up. This is not.
So
right now, every issue, because of the perception of people, because they want to magnify what's feel like they wrong. Everything issue, Trump did it.
Hey, Scott.
Trump. It's a Trump. Well, Trump's going to take our money and do this. We have spent more tax dollars on stupid stuff than ever before. So now, if we're doing $120 or $160 a year, because see, here's the thing. Most people pay, if you have an income of what, $30,000 to $50,000 a year, you're paying about $36 a year for welfare. $36 for welfare. All right, that's the average. If you make more, then you're going to pay more. So we're paying money for this, for that. I think there's got to be a certain time when we have to do something with this wall.
Do you know Social Security is capped at $125,000?
No.
That if you make $10 billion, you're only taxed on Social Security for the first $125,000.
Isn't that something?
Now, wonder who came up with that.
I don't know.
You don't think a rich person came up with that?
Why?
That's why Trump's not showing his returns.
Why didn't he show them?
One time.
Just one time. Just show. Let us know what you got.
Yeah.
Turn over your cards on the table.
Now,
because he's probably hiding something.
The legacy that Trump is making, probably like Arnold did and Ronald Reagan and a few other people in political situations where they've also had a taste of entertainment or Hollywood or, you know, inexperienced, but were molded into great people. Trump is packaging this first 4 years as Trump tomorrow night on 8.
Did you see how he did the Supreme Court nomination this week? He said, tune in tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. I'm bringing two guys in, and we're going to choose one. Now, do you think that's good for democracy? How people are
learning? Well, actually, how our world is being viewed. When you say things like that, that's all I'm concerned about. America, there's half of America that believe that he's a piece of you-know-what, and there's half American that think he's going to make the strong changes that were needed a long time ago and thought that Obama just sat on his butt in that White House and brought all the entertainers and brought all the NBA stars and brought a little swag to the White House and made history by being the first black president and then going to capture America's most wanted man. You know, that's Obama, and he gave affordable telephone service to people, government-assisted phones. Now you got kids talking about, hey, man, let me use your Obama phone.
Right.
And
by the way, it's very important because the jobs report just came out this morning for Obama's last month in president. Mm-hmm. 4.8%, lowest it's been in 10 years.
Wow.
So I want, but he was doing nothing, I guess, for anybody.
I would never say
he
would never
do nothing. Yeah,
I would never say that.
I do, he could have did more.
Yep. Well, he was expected from, let's say this.
But specifically,
he was expected by Black America for him to do specific things for Black America.
And what could you do with a Congress who on day one said, my number one goal is to make you a one-term president?
Okay.
You had people.
What are you going to do?
They voted against everything. They wouldn't even take his Supreme Court vote last year. They wouldn't even hear the guy. Nothing.
But we put him back in. So 8 years. You couldn't do nothing 8 years. You couldn't do, I mean, because really, this dude, you got Trump walking there for 7 days and done did more than freaking.
What's he done?
What has he implemented? He signed executive orders.
Well, those, I mean, 20 of them for a president in the first 10
that's
days
a big step.
Is outrageous.
But what's the outcome?
We don't know that
yet. That's right. So we can't say he's done something.
Okay, but that's a step. See, wait, you got to get to one before you get to 10. Okay.
Okay.
You got to get to one. So praise, give him some clout for getting to one.
Mention the wall in his first 10 days.
Because we can read over the things that he signed. That's got to be one.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's the number one.
Well, I think the Muslim ban is maybe number two here. And I think a lot of people are having problems with that.
A lot of people are going to have a lot of problems with a lot of things.
And that was a slap in the face to Obama's family. You know, like his doesn't he have Nigerian roots?
But you know, it's awful interesting that the seven countries who he barred from coming here, all the hijackers, most of the hijackers from 9/11
came from somewhere else.
Yeah, came from somewhere else. Now, it's also kind of interesting that he didn't block any of the Muslim countries that he does business with.
Yeah, it is.
So, but that's a guy on the level.
Operating he didn't block what?
Didn't block the seven countries he's put this Muslim ban on.
Yeah.
None of them are the countries that had 9/11 hijackers in them, and none of them are countries he does business with.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But that's an on the level president.
Yeah. Yeah.
We soon will find out. We soon will find out. Hey, I don't
want to switch gears. Oh, go ahead.
I have a question. Yeah. Ted. Yeah. I'm gonna switch gears here. Ted.
Yeah.
If Trump said, I'm going to give you $500,000 to come and speak at one of my events, would you go?
I sure would.
Would you, Spears?
I would go.
I sure would.
Why wouldn't you?
Okay, so I don't know, because a lot of people and a lot of Americans feel like that a lot of Black Americans that went to his inaugural and sung, they was getting death threats. They were being told because they were sellouts.
The people wanted to perform? Sure.
They were sellouts.
Still getting them.
And they're still getting death threats.
Right. It's not right.
That's crazy.
They call me the golden goose.
But that's some of the stuff. That's some of the stuff that we're having to deal with, and it has nothing to really do with Trump himself. These are the things that have to do with our individual thoughts. These have to do with our individual energy that we pour onto other people.
Scott, did you get any numbers from the percentages of voters here in Marion who voted for Trump?
Yes. In Marion, about 60%, 62%. But now here's the problem, though.
I think right now we're going to have a
death threat out here.
And this is a highly Trump name, and we get it all the time. Oh, you're a liberal station. But you know what the reason is because Trump is a different president, and he says things.
That we normally say. He says things that Scott would say, maybe, that we would say alone, that me and Ted would say alone. He says it in public.
Yeah, but I would not. But that's
you
got
to give it to him, because on that note, I have more respect for a Ku Klux Klan white person as opposed to the one that says, you know, some of my best friends are Black.
Yeah, but let me ask you this, Ted, because you've had a national fame, okay? And you just said it. Stuff that all of us would say. Trump says stuff that all of us would say off the microphone. So why doesn't he know to say them off the microphone?
Because he don't care.
Because he's sitting there talking to Bush. What's his name again?
He doesn't care.
The guy for Inside Edition. I mean,
Billy Bush.
He's on a bus. I mean, again, you and I, it's men talk, locker room talk, whatever you want to define it as. But doesn't he know that he's being recorded?
He does not care.
Well, then he cannot
care when people come after him.
You can't care.
I mean,
can't whine then.
That's true. That is true.
Well, let me say this.
I mean, I absolutely agree.
You know how
there's consequences to what you say. I mean, there is.
Hey, you know how they have the show me state and all? Visit Marion. the who cares city.
Well, you know, that's what but the problem is.
Who cares?
You say, why are people angry? Why are people throwing stuff? Why are people picketing people who want to perform in his inaugural? Jennifer Hudson, I think, was one who they picketed.
Yeah.
And the reason was because there has never been a man running for president since the 1940s who stood up on national television and said, I don't know what the Ku Klux Klan is. Now, do you really think he didn't know?
Isn't that some?
I mean, it's unbelievable.
Something? And then activity on the tweet account for Trump is real heavy in that white supremacist group.
Well, why here? And this is not.
And I'm not trying to knock him. Please, Marion, do not hold the station accountable for some of my.
Well, let me
opinion.
Ask you this. Let me ask you this, Dan. And I want a question on that. Okay, he did not ask to be endorsed by the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah.
So okay, that's fine.
Right.
But why did they endorse him? Why did they feel that was their guy?
Because probably some of the things that they want to see, he says.
Okay.
But here's the thing. Does that make me bad? Because there's some of the things that he says that I agree with. I don't agree with everything. So here's the thing. We have to look at each other at the end of the day. Because like we was,
what has Trump said?
Hold up. Here's the thing. There could be some really ignorant, nasty people out there that have a horrible lifestyle, but they can still say something that is powerful, that is truth, and that can change lives for good.
Let me get deep.
Well, there you go.
You see what I'm saying? Well, so at times, I mean, you may have to agree with that idiot.
Okay. Let me get. Okay.
Not
well.
Trump as an idiot. I'm saying that idiot. You may have to agree with a Ku Klux Klan man. You may have to agree with somebody that don't like Mexicans. You may have to agree with somebody that don't like me. My boss may not like me, but I'm gonna take that paycheck.
But let me ask you this, because we started with one point in this conversation here. Do you think Martin Luther King Jr. would have voted for Donald Trump?
Would have approved of Donald Trump? I don't know.
Once you say I don't know what the Ku Klux Klan is, I think that'd have been a deal breaker.
No, I'm just saying I really don't know.
I mean,
do you think this man of peace?
Do you think that he would have voted for Obama?
Would Martin Luther King? I think he would.
Absolutely, he would.
Maybe not. We don't know because he's dead.
No, we don't know anybody's dead. But you got to say we have to look at these people's character. Martin Luther King Jr. ushered in the nonviolent protest.
You think he would have voted for Hillary?
Do I?
Yeah.
Over Trump, yes.
No, I don't think
so. Let me say something.
But I don't know. We don't know. I don't think so, though. But I don't know.
I get a very vague understanding of why Mr. Trump would say that he is noticing the achievements of black people in general over because of the teachings of Frederick Douglass. Now, putting that again, supremacist person in a position in his administration, that's a choice of his own, but it doesn't make sense to make the continuing comments that just doesn't make sense. I'm so frustrated over the fact that I've only got a limited amount of time and before I could say certain things, but I don't want anybody to. Why does the man not be prepped at some point to become diplomatic with that position of commander in chief?
I believe that he has a cabinet.
Should somebody comb his hair?
He said it.
You know,
I think
he's got people to put makeup on him and everything, but nobody writes a politically correct, no pun intended, script or something.
He said he don't want it. He said it.
Well, it sounds like we got an ignorant president, and America just shouldn't care.
He said. I'm not about to read that.
With 30 seconds left, and we may discuss this in the next program. But somebody said this to me the day after the election, because the Trump voters were being called racist.
Okay.
And somebody said this. I thought this was quite profound. They said, "Not everybody who voted for Trump was a racist, but all the racists voted for Donald Trump."
Maybe.
What?
Maybe.
You gotta wonder.
Next,
maybe
on The Apprentice.
Do you think that anybody who had any kind of racism, whether it was toward Mexican Americans, African Americans, Polish Americans, do you think any of them voted for Hillary Clinton?
I don't know.
No. That's why I wanted to know, what is Trump? Is he Italian, Polish?
I mean, does it matter? I think he's human.
What do you mean? Does it matter?
Because it does not matter.
And it mattered to him whether Obama was a real.
That didn't matter neither.
Yeah, it did.
What about Judge Curiel, the Mexican judge? That mattered to him.
Listen to me. But it doesn't. Y'all looking at
it.
Looking at face value. We are humans.
Trump is the president that
we are
don't
humans.
Care.
We are
We're
humans.
We're out of time, Ted. Yes. Sign us
hey,
up for this.
Hey, WWGH 107.1. We've got my main man over there, and Margie. She's here. Hi, Marge. All right, we're ready. We've got some hot topics. and you're coming next. It's 12 o'clock. Scott Anthony, you my main man. We're going to make this our home right now, Marion, because these little things are going to help me have a full understanding. Talk to you later.
What do you want to see happen from this point out? This is now the truth.
It is the truth. And this is what I wanted. My goal is I want to see all the books rewritten. I want everything rewritten. I would like everyone to take back what they said. I want to say no, 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 no. And that may sound a little weird, but I just want to throw it in their face. I'm just so tired of these people. And there's still people I read. And Utah and I talked about this the other night, that write stuff and try to pass over this and make it out like it really isn't here. And it's here. Face it, it's here. It's done. And what she said... And I want everyone to know, she wrote the truth. She would never lie. You could offer her any amount of money and she would not tell a lie.
To legendary zoologist from The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson and Conan O'Brien, Jim...